Blog Talk Radio.
My
my life. Oh Lord, you are my life. Oh Lord, you are my life.
All right, everybody, it's Monday night. Wow. That means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'll be your host this evening, Ron Golden, for PatriotFamilies.com, and I hope everyone can hear me out there. If you're hearing me coming across, if you would just give me a thumbs up and let me know that you've got me, because it looks like we may have some audio issues. From what I'm seeing in the chat, perfect. I posted a link earlier, and I'll repost it again. I'm not an accountant by any stretch of the imagination, but I got digging through today because I occasionally get emails from Mr. Walter Burian, and I got to curious. I got to thinking, wow, I wonder, is Detroit really bankrupt? I mean, are they? I just wonder. Well, they may be in trouble because it does look like they're holding about $7.5 billion worth of treasury notes. And U.S. government securities, they got about $119 billion. So they do have a little bit of... U.S. government debt that they're holding on the order of about a $1.2 trillion. But I couldn't help but thinking, you know, I wonder what their CAFR actually looks like. And if I'm reading this thing correctly, when I look at totals, not just their pension funds, which, by the way, are actually quite liquid. Oh no, Mr. Rod Loop's having a little trouble. And I'm trying to run down and find the page that I had that showed the totals. I found something quite interesting. And I know that governments are very fond of doing this kind of thing, where they do what they call actuarial accounting. Pardon me for my frogginess this evening. But in their actuarial accounting, they will take an asset, like a pension fund. And that pension fund may have, wow, we'll say $3 trillion in the fund. And there's a group of people, some of those people are just now coming into retirement. Some of those people have been in retirement for 20, 25 years, and presumably won't be collecting much longer, but nonetheless, they'll do an actuarial plan to the very last person that just went into retirement yesterday. And they'll extrapolate that out based on the number of people enrolled in the plan and use that number to calculate total outlays over the next 10 or 20 years based on the current number of people. But we heard a few things. You know, back when these funds were started, there were many thousands of, multiples of thousands of state or city government workers. And currently there are 9,000. So there's 9,000 government workers. 21,000 are currently retired. If I read their figures right from the CAFR, their total outlays in pensions fiscal year 2012 was $167 million. The remaining balance in the fund is, and I'm going from memory because I can't find the page, either $3 trillion or $3 billion. Either way, suffice it to say, it's a ton of money. But then they do something interesting. The line directly below that, they have expenditures that will be paid out in a time frame of more than 1 year. And wouldn't you know it, that figure exceeds the total amount they have in assets. And therefore, they're bankrupt. They're broke. Now, if you move over to the totals column, you'll see that they have on the order of 10 billion or trillion, whatever it is. But again, the projection for the totals exceed that number. These are not real numbers. Granted, the totals in assets are real numbers. It's a statement of net assets, and you'll find that on page 41. You'll see governmental activities, business activities, totals. So, if we look at the totals side, and I'm told at the very top of the page that this is in thousands. So, we see this number that ends with 510. We have to assume that that's 510,000 because it's in thousands, not hundreds. So we're looking at 10,311,197,510,000 dollars in actual total assets. Now we're talking about investments, cash flow, investments, accounts, internal balances, money that's due them from primary government, due from component units within the government, due from other governmental agencies, inventory, prepaid expenses, long-term receivables, loans and notes receivables, other assets, net pension assets, deferred charges, capital assets, non-depreciable and depreciable assets. $10.3 trillion. Now, when we scroll down the page a little bit further, we see liabilities. And if we look at total liabilities due within 1 year, we'd be $306,030,496,000. Right? Now, let's drop down one line. Due in more than 1 year. Here's where we get into the projections, and you'll notice that this number is nearly equivalent to the total number of assets. Page 41, Rod. You have to go to this PDF link. It's all right. No worries. So you see that if we remove this projected number, if we remove this presumed liability 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, and we just focus on the here and now of life in Detroit this year, this month, well, it doesn't paint nearly as grim a picture. And what I'm telling you is that that $9,112,959,867,000 is a made-up number. Granted, there's certainly some legitimacy. They just didn't pick a number out of thin air. There is a formula for how they arrived at that number. But that formula assumes a lot. I say that that formula assumes too much. And you see that the shortfall, even if we go with their presumptions, the total shortfall is only, I can't believe I'm saying this, is only about $357 billion. Now, given the amount of money we're talking about here, $357 billion is just a drop in the bucket, folks. I mean, for instance, they have more than that in their derivative instruments, swap liabilities. They have $439,302,669,000 in derivatives. That ought to scare the hell out of anybody that lives in Detroit. But nonetheless, this is your government at work. This is just a small microcosm of the reality of all government. You know, there used to be a time when we believed that government was not supposed to be in the business of being in business. And government was not supposed to operate at a profit. They also were not supposed to be in the business of investing in other businesses with our money to pay proceeds for their employees. But hey, if they can do that, if they can run these investments, it creates economic growth, then we could presumably do away with the income tax and use the proceeds of these investments not to line the pockets of politicians, not to pay pensions to government workers, but to actually fund the running, the day-to-day operations of the government. What a novel idea. What an absolutely novel idea. But instead, what we see is what we have when we look at this breakdown on this financial report from just one city that we're told right now, today, in this day and age, they are broke, they're bankrupt, defunct, can't do it, we've got to rewrite the rules. Well, what's the translation? The translation is all those people, those 21,000 retirees, right? Think about that. 21,000 people currently retired are bankrupting the state or the city of Detroit. 21,000 people. Out of 700,000 people, 21,000, a very small percentage, are holding the other 700,000 people hostage. Does that seem appropriate? But then again, we have 535 people holding then an entire nation hostage in Washington, D.C. So I just wanted you to see some of these numbers and see how they come to the fact that they're bankrupt, right? Because, I mean, honestly, this is the totals column. This is not the sewer fund, the water fund, the any other fund. This is it. Statement of net totals. Total liabilities, total assets. But the liabilities, you see, are projections. The assets are actual assets. But the liabilities are presumed future liabilities sometime beyond 1 year. Now, I want you to scroll all the way back up to very close to the beginning, page I-6. And you will see on I-6 the executive branch, principal officials of the city of Detroit, Michigan, executive mayor Dave Bing, looks like a pretty nice guy, probably a pretty personable fellow. You see your city council. Take a good look. Take a good long look at your city council and your mayor. And I see we've got one convert in the group down there. It's probably Muslim. And then scroll down to the principal officials, legislative, the city clerk, Janice Winfrey, Jack Martin, chief financial officer, and the finance director, Cheryl Johnson. I want you to take a good look at all these folks that are running the city of Detroit. And I want you to burn in your mind a mental image of all of these people. And the reason I want you to do this is because I want you to close your eyes the next time you hear about diversity. the next time you hear about fairness and diversity, and I want you to picture these people in your mind, not because I hold any ill will towards these folks, because I don't. And I'm sure they're doing a wonderful job, as the data reflects. I sure would like the people of Detroit to take a good, hard look at these folks. Not just the people of Detroit, but in particular the 21,000 retired government employees. I'd like them to take a good, long look at these folks and take a good, long look at those totals on page 41 and recognize what appears to be an attempted hijack in the making. Because it certainly looks to me like what these folks, these fine folks that are running the city of Detroit, looks like what they are trying to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to renegotiate the pension payments that they give to these people that they had a legal binding contract with, and get them to take less than what their contract was for in order to save Detroit. And I guess the point is, it's not going to save Detroit, because they're lying. They're absolutely lying about the situation. They're counting their hens before they even have eggs, and they're counting the eggs as if they're omelets. You know, if you or I tried any kind of stunt like this, we'd be laughed out of court and probably be put in jail. But because they have the big G in front of them, maybe that's what the G stands for in the Masonic ring. Maybe it's government. Maybe that's what it stands for, huh? And believe me when I tell you that I have no love loss for unions. I believe that unions are nothing more than organized extortion, plain and simple. And, you know, God bless them. You got to hand it to them. They've found a way to strong-arm the government. By God, if I could manage that, I wouldn't be in the boat I'm in now. Maybe I should start a union. Robert, what do you think?
I think we should. I think we should start our own union.
We could have the United Goyim Against Government Union.
You said the word Goyim again. Boy, wow.
Well, you know, I was going to read this book or some excerpts from a book. And I was going to remove the word Goyim and replace it with infidel and read some passages from that book, because I'm pretty certain what everyone would think I was talking about. Because you know, Robert, you know as well as I do where the Muslims got their ideas, don't you?
The more I think about it, Ron, you know, it takes me, you know why I come on every 2 weeks now? It takes me
just to get abused.
It takes me 2 weeks to digest everything that I hear on the news or everything I read. It takes me two weeks to digest all these games that they're playing with us, and you know, I don't know what to say anymore. I'm lost for words.
Forget all that news garbage, because it's garbage in, garbage out. But I'm asking you a direct question.
But
you know what I'm asking you?
Ask me.
Is it true or is it not? Now, you're Jewish, and we've established that, and I'm not joking with you, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm asking an honest question from someone who was not raised in Jewish tradition. I was not raised Jewish, so I don't know. All I can go by is what I read. Is it true that Islam, Muslims, learned every statement that they've made about the infidels from the Jews? They have, in fact, what I'm trying to say is, What they've done is they have adopted the Talmud as their own and inserted Islam and Muslim for Jew.
Oh, well, my answer to that is everybody is learning from the Jews.
Boy, aren't we?
You know why I say that? I want to say this joke on stage next August 7th when I go up again for stand-up comedy. I would say, you know how you make a Jew moan? Take their money away from them.
That's the bottom line. But what I'm saying. Absolutely.
Everybody's after everybody's money. Regardless.
I don't care about anybody's money. I honest to God don't care about anybody's money. What I care about is my time, and I want to be left the hell alone. Okay, I don't want
to
be messed with, but I know that's not going to happen.
You know that's not going to happen, Ron. Those days are gone. Your privacy is gone. Your money is gone. What do you have left? Your soul. That's all you got left.
Here's what I'm talking about. The estates of the infidel are like a wilderness. He who first settles in them has a right to them. So my property, my estate, it's like a wild wilderness, and whoever settles it first, it's theirs. The property of the infidel is like a thing without a master.
Ron, this is what I don't understand. I heard what you said on the numbers in Detroit.
Yep.
And I heard what was stated today. So the other people's money has to pay 50 cents of every dollar to get Detroit out of the mess. Period. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, no, I understand that. I understand that wholeheartedly. And that was my point of phrasing it. You've got a city that currently they have on the books $10 trillion, $10.1 trillion in net assets. The lion's share of which is in investments, capital investments, liquid. We're not counting buildings and cars and streetlights and all the crap that we're talking about. Capital assets, okay, liquid capital. And then when you look at their liabilities column, they take their pension liability and they extrapolate it out, right?
Uh-huh.
And for 10 years or 20 years, we don't know, because the entry just simply says due in more than 1 year. So that could be 100 years, it could be 10 years. We're not given the formula. So you and I, you know, if you want to let me do the books, I can show that you're woefully broke, overextended. If I can extrapolate your future car payments into the year 2095 and count them this year and say, see, Your Honor, we're defunct, we're broke. I know we've got $10 trillion in the bank, but look at all our liabilities here.
That's what our present government is like. Detroit, it's the same gig. They're just not admitting it.
Exactly. And, if this is the case, why doesn't our Congress calculate our unfunded liabilities in Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security of $40 trillion going forward? We're clearly broke.
But now,
isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how we see both sides of the coin in the same operation, right? Because you've got the city of Detroit, and they're extrapolating out, we'll say, 5 years. Hell, I don't know. Nobody knows. 5, 10 years. If we freeze everything today, right now, we won't have the money to pay anything in 10 years. No shit. Okay. Well, why Washington does the opposite? Oh, we're not broke. We got plenty of money. Well, of course, because you got a printing press in the frickin' basement, and Uncle Ben's gonna hook you up anytime you need to. Just borrow some money. But the crazy thing is, before you can borrow the money from Uncle Ben, you first have to print it and sell it to him for, you know, 10 cents on the dollar. That's the craziest.
What are we going to do in October, Ron? I mean, you know why he extended the mandate for the year for the businesses? Because of the unions gave him so much shit about it. That's why he gave a year to fix it. You know?
He wants a year because we want to push it beyond the midterm elections. Because they knew that if it happened right now, this year, if it was instituted this year, they had a snowball's chance in hell of electing anybody. If their name even started with a D, they weren't going to get elected. Never mind what party they were affiliated with.
That's why he called me 2 weeks to get readjusted.
Well, I mean, it's the damn truth. You know it. I know it. And the sad thing is, the voters know it. The voters know it, too.
Oh, my God.
And they'll still vote for
these
friggin' idiots. So what does that make them? And, you know, I saw somebody this weekend, yesterday, that, you know, absolutely, unequivocally, the people of Detroit, the 700,000 citizens of Detroit, bear absolutely no responsibility in this fiasco. Bullshit. If you go back to page I-6 and I-7 and scroll through there and point out to me all those people in that picture that were not elected by the people in Detroit.
It's my
They elected every damn one of them. They elected every one of them. The fact that they're all black means nothing to me. In fact, what it tells me is they are a reflection of the population of Detroit. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't care that they're black. They could be, you know, Asian for all I give a damn. The one dude with the, you know, the switchover, he's got his little Muslim, you know, Kenyan cap on there. You know, I don't know, maybe he's Obama's cousin or something. But, I mean, you know, but of course, there are a lot of Muslims in the Detroit area. But I'm here to tell you, they've done it to themselves. And these people are trying to get a pass now by saying that the people of Detroit have no responsibility in their bankruptcy. Well, bullshit. Who do you think was begging their government for all of these programs? And they've gotten everything they've asked for. So the situation that Detroit finds itself in today, ladies and gentlemen, is one of their own making. Detroit is the poster child for the Democrat progressive ideology at its finest. My God, they're a union town. Everybody knows that Detroit is staunchly union. All of their government employees are all union. They've all got pensions and Cadillac health care plans. Man, they have got the best of everything. They ought to be living high on the hog. And look at how they have fouled the nest that they created for themselves. They have created nothing but a frigging broke cesspool that is overrun with crime and criminals. And it is of their own making. This is, ladies and gentlemen, the picture, what we have to look forward to, of the United States of America as it will be, as your progressive liberals envision the whole of the world should look like Detroit. And of course, it's not their fault. It must be inequality and racism. In fact, what it is, ladies and gentlemen, is those evil conservatives trying to break up the union in Detroit. That's what's caused all these problems.
I haven't seen you this upset in a long time.
You see, Detroit, ladies and gentlemen, Detroit is a microcosm, but it's a good one. And what it's a good microcosm of is an absolute perfect model of real trickle-down economics. You know, I know the progressives and the idiots out there, the dumbasses, like to talk about, trickle-down economics. Yeah, but what they don't realize is that the Reaganite ideology of trickle-down economics, as flawed as it is actually would be more appropriately named trickle-up economics, where the money is left in my wallet and your wallet, and we choose where to spend that money on goods and services of our choosing Because after all, it is our productive efforts that earned that freaking money in the first place. And then that creates higher revenues. It also creates job growth. And it creates economic growth. Are you kidding me? What a concept. But no, they called it, they misnamed it, they called it trickle-down economics. But trickle-down implies a gravitational pull, with things starting at the top and trickling down through the morass of manure that is government, and what drips out the bottom is a toxic soup of debt. And that is trickle-down economics, and that is what you see in Detroit, and that's what you see to a larger extent in Washington, D.C., and mark my words, in another month or two, you are going to start feeling it in earnest.
Already feeling it. Believe me.
Oh, I know.
I'm already feeling it, Bill. I'm already feeling it, Ron. I'm feeling it so badly right now. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. The only good news is that the value of my home has increased. That's the only good news that I can tell
you for me. But Robert, the value of your home has decreased by default. The reason I say it's decreased by default is because the dollar bill in your pocket is now worth 50 frickin' cents compared to what it was a year ago. So naturally, the value of your home has gone up in price, right? But it hasn't doubled.
Right.
This is the thing. People have their heads so far up their southern posteriors that they can't see the truth, the reality of what's right damned in front of them. These government agencies are flat lying to these people. They're lying to the people of Detroit. They have stolen your ass blind, and they're fixing to steal your ass blind again. They're not broke. What they're saying is they've stolen enough of your damn money, and they don't want to pay it back to you. Okay? So they want you to take it in the backside. They want to stick one in the tailpipe, break it off on you so you'll take half of what you should have gotten, and they can make off with the other half to line the pockets of their damn crony-ass friends. And I don't care if it's an all-black damn city council and an all-black state government, or an all-white or all-Hispanic or all-Muslim or all-Jewish or whatever. Race has not a damn thing to do with it. And I think that picture on I-6 and I-7 ought to just accentuate that in your mind. When you hear all this bullshit, okay, when you hear all this crap, I'm sorry, you've got a black president. You have every single person of authority in the city of Detroit is black. Their skin color is black. Okay, I can name you several other black mayors, congressmen, senators, and you're going to sit here and tell me that these poor people are being depressed because of their color. Bullshit. And I wish the black community, those that are buying into this, just snap out of it and wake up and tell these jackasses, you don't own me, and you're the racist son of a bitch because you keep trying to push me down and get me to say, woe is me because I'm black. Why do you think I give you a hard time, Robert, when you come on and you talk about this black cloud following you around because you're Jewish? You can't help it. I don't mean anything ill towards you by it. I like you. I think you're a great guy. But it's in your nature. You've been raised to believe that many bad things happen to you simply because you happen to be Jewish. And you believe it. When you believe in something like that. No, I'm just telling you. Believe me. Take a little lesson here. When you accept that as truth, when you believe in that in your heart, you propagate more of it in your life. When you reject it and say, I'm not hearing that, you're not putting that label on me. And you stand up and walk away from it.
Believe me, I rejected that 3 months ago. And I tell you what.
There's this group of people on this earth that are professional victims. But, and again, I hate to do this because I don't see people, I honestly do not see people in this light as a whole, and I try not to paint everybody with a broad brush. I take everyone as they come, individually, one at a time. But there is a large group of people on this planet that have made a living out of being professional victims. And they've perfected their craft. They really have. And those people started an organization to train up an entire new group of professional victims. And they've done a yeoman's job of it.
It's shame.
And it's disgusting.
It's a crying shame.
It is a crying shame. Do you know that black Americans comprise 13% of our society? They only represent 13%. Do you know that we have murdered 16 million black babies in this country? You see, what these folks don't seem to understand is all these progressives that they think are cheering them on and on their side hate them. They see them as useless eaters. They see them as nothing more than animals. That's why I wanted to bring up the Talmudic recitations where they talk about the goyim are animals. And it's okay to lie to us. Where do we hear that? We hear that from the Muslims and Islam, right? That infidels are animals. They're pigs, right? Don't we hear that about where they're talking about the damn the Jews, you know, the Morsi and all those other Jews are pigs, right? Where did they get that from? They got it from the Talmud. What they've done, what nobody wants to talk about, and I don't know why anybody won't talk about it in this damned country or anywhere in the world, right? Other than we've got this class of professional victims we call Jews. Well, I'm sorry. You can call me an anti-Semite if you want. I don't hold any ill will toward them. I'm just telling you what the damn truth is. They had a book called the Talmud, and Muhammad, he stole that from them, and they used their ideas, their writings, and they flipped it on them. And this goes back to Ishmael and Isaac, right, in the Old Testament. Abraham's sons, Ishmael and Isaac, and one is a Jew and one is Arab, supposedly, and this, we're told, is where this schism comes from, right? And according to the Muslims, Abraham was a Muslim, and Ishmael was a Muslim, but Isaac, oh, well, he was the bastard son. But it's the other way around, we're told, by the Jews. So, I mean, who am I supposed to believe? And both groups of people say that me, myself and I, well, I'm just an animal. I'm a pig. I'm worthy to be lied to. I'm like dog crap on their shoe. And both groups say this, but they say it about one another also. See, one group came up with the idea, and the other group stole it from that group, and now they turned it on them, and they hate each other immensely. And we're believing all this crap. And then, if that's not enough, we foment another group in the black community, and we're going to turn those into professional victims also, so we get a third group coming up. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick and frickin' tired of it. Miss Linda, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hi, Robert and Ron. Thank you for taking the call. Hi, everyone in the chat room.
I wish I could think of something to talk about tonight. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, what's interesting is how you've tied this whole thing together, and what I see, because I was listening to all the diatribe on the news today, I think some of the Zimmerman case has kind of winded down a little bit, thank God, because see here, I'm in San Diego, I've got Bob Filner's on the hot seat, because Gloria Allred stepped up to the plate, this guy's
okay,
close.
I want to, and it's, in all fairness, I didn't announce this at the beginning of the show, but I will. Okay, so let me announce this right now. Anyone saying the names Trayvon, Martin, George, or Zimmerman, $20. You owe me $20. Okay, I'm going to take a page out of Mr. Beck's book. $20 if you mention those names, because I am so over hearing about this contrived bullshit.
Correct. The case that shall not be named, we are going to put to rest. But what, you know, among the things that I was listening to today and the local stuff and, of course, the world stage, because we've got bloggers and tweeters and the Blaze and the Drudge Report and God knows what else, of course, and they're checking out the royal baby, and I said, royal my backside.
Yeah,
I am
I'm with Bill. We can't mention the royal baby or Geraldo, and only Robert is allowed to wear the towel.
Okay.
I want to come up to Georgia and whoop your butt.
I think what my point was is, you know, all this nonsense of the divine right of kings makes me sick because they're a bunch of inbred fools, and I don't care about them, and there's only one king in my universe, and that's the only one I'll ever bow to, because these clowns do not walk on water, so end of that story. And
Amen.
If we fall, like Michael Magic says, if we put him first, then we don't have to worry about these idiots and their Talmud and their this and their Goyim and the rest of it. It's ridiculous.
I heard a great thing today. Somebody took a picture of a dog pinching a loaf and put it on Twitter and said that the new child has been born.
They did what?
Oh, God.
I couldn't hear.
They took a picture of a dog crapping and said,
oh,
look,
no.
the new child has been born.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my. Oh, that's a bit much.
But, you know, I mean, you look at, you know, honest to goodness, this morning I'm on my way to work and I actually heard a woman utter, and I'm going to paraphrase and then I'll backtrack and explain. I heard a lady proclaim today, or at least imply, that women get raped because they wear sexy and provocative clothing. And it's not the rapist's fault that the women dress that way. Now, that's not exactly what she said. What she did say was just as damn ridiculous and just as arrogant and demeaning all at the same time. What she did say is that the reason that there is so much gun violence among black youths is because guns are so easily obtained when they're just laying around in someone's house when they break in. So you
this is why we
need more gun control. I'm like, excuse me, you just said that blacks break into people's houses and steal guns and then they can't control themselves. And because the gun is just laying there, they're going to steal it. And because they've stolen it, they're obviously going to use it in the commission of some felonious act.
Oh, my God. Oh. Yep.
I hope the black community wakes up quickly because these are your protector folks. These are the folks you're hanging your hopes on.
Oh, my Lord. I actually feel sorry for the black community because, in a sense, and, you know, look.
They have been deceived beyond deception.
Beyond. True. But let's look around and be fair. I mean, they have been worse than we have. But I see, you know, many, many colors out here. And like you said, 13% is of the Negroid color, and we have plenty of people who are not that color who have been dumbed down almost quite as thoroughly and put on a plantation.
Let's be fair. So let's look, you know, okay, blacks represent 13% of our society, and Obama won a 51% majority. So they clearly weren't all just black people voting for President Obama.
Right.
So now, granted, you know, because I would say if we took the black community alone and said, okay, what percentage of the black voters didn't vote for Obama? I'd be willing to bet it's probably 2 or 3%.
Right.
So let's take a look at the liberal mindset of our society that's not black and say what percentage of them didn't vote for Obama. Yeah. I'd be willing to say it's probably along the same 2 or 3% as the black community. So I don't think that is some big, strange anomaly there. Now, you know, and I think that if you look at the black community, I think there's a percentage that are conservative. And I think there's probably a percentage that are conservative that don't dare say they are.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think that they're any different than we are, we being everybody else that's not black. There is a percentage of we that are freaking idiots, and it's a large percentage. So let's not fool ourselves into thinking that, you know, group A is smarter than group B, because that's just not true.
Correct.
we can take my particular group, which would be the redneck, white trash, Democrat demography or demographics, because I certainly didn't come from a Republican upbringing or a quote-unquote conservative or religious upbringing. My grandparents were Midwestern farmers in the state of Illinois that I promise you voted Democrat every day of their lives. So,
wow.
You know, I escaped. I'm an anomaly. I'll admit that. It's not just my wife agreeing with me for once. What, ladies and gentlemen, we have to mark this as a momentous occasion. She is wholeheartedly agreeing with me.
Is that because you're not a racist, Ron?
I try not to be. Now, I will tell you, I am not ashamed that I have used the N-word, and I've used it profusely, and not just directed towards people with dark skin. I'm sorry, but in my little reality, if the shoe fits, I'm gonna throw it at you. And I don't give a damn what color you are. If you act like a dumbass, I'm going to call you a dumbass.
Am I a dumbass right now?
No, but I mean, you know, look, I see guys, I got a guy that comes in my store. He couldn't walk through a metal detector. It'd go nuts. He's got more jewelry in his face. He has his gums pierced, for God's sakes. Full sleeve tattoo.
Lord.
Okay? And if he's happy, if he's happy with the statement he's making, more power to him. But he had to know when he began to undertake this transformation of his image that the majority of people were going to look at him and they were instantly going to have an image in their mind that was not flattering, because, quite honestly, his outward image is not flattering.
Right.
If you look like a criminal, if you look like a scumbag, if you look like a thug, if you carry yourself in a certain manner, people are going to look at you and have a negative reaction. That is human nature. And I don't care if you're a trashy white-looking guy or a trashy black guy or a trashy Asian, although I got to say I can't think of ever seeing one of those, but I suppose they do exist. You know, the point is, it's not just about the skin color. There's a lot more that goes into it than just the color of your skin. It's how you conduct yourself, how you speak. Are you well-spoken? Are you dressed somewhat respectfully? Or do you have your pants down around your ankles, walking around with your underwear out, your hair in freaking dreadlocks that looks like, you know, Oscar the Grouch might be nesting in there? And, you know, talking smack, talking Ebonics, talking street crap. There's a place for that. There is a place for that. It's on the street. And if that's your choice, if that's the crowd that you relate to and that you want to run with, don't be offended when you walk into the country club and they kick your ass out the front door.
Yeah, I don't understand. Well, you know, they are free to express themselves, but they're not free to commit crimes against others. So,
you're free to, right, and that's the point. Your freedom of expression is all yours, brother. Do it. But then don't get pissed at me if you don't like my reaction to your expression.
That's true. Yeah,
you might think it looks beautiful. I might think you look like a horse's ass with his tail cut off. I mean, you know, that's my prerogative.
Well, there are people out there.
If I own a business, it's my prerogative not to hire you because you're going to frighten the hell out of my customers. It's bad for my business.
Exactly. And I keep hearing smatterings of federal intervention making people, you know, hire this person or that person, and you can't check
person's
background. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm
so
tired of
glad that you brought up federal intervention, because in my little miniature, minuscule, tiny rant, I almost completely forgot about President Orangutan's new executive order.
Oh, God. What now?
Well, we're all going to have to be tested for AIDS.
And how is he going to propose to find everybody and drag them into a doctor's office?
Well, you're just going to have to be blood tested, and that's going to come through the Department of Health and Human Services. Oh, no. This is something totally different, Robert. This is separate from Obamacare. This was something that Obama signed executive order on July 18th, 2013,
yep.
Creating some new national group for AIDS awareness and AIDS treatment, and overseeing being overseen by Department of Health and Human Services mandatory HIV/AIDS screening of every individual between 15 and 65.
Okay, how are they going to do this?
Well,
that's my question.
Golly gee. Don't go to the doctor. Don't go to the doctor because you know they're going to put a mandate out. We want you to do a blood, take blood, and we're going to do a blood panel on everyone that comes in to screen them for HIV/AIDS.
Is that where the IRS comes in and knocks on your door?
Now, never mind that they can use that blood sample for a DNA database.
Right.
Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Brought to you by the NSA and Carl's Jr.
When they start coming at you with the needling, they tell you what they're going to do. Do you not get up and
get
walk
shot.
Out?
Some bitch comes at me with a needle, I'm shooting them. I'm scared.
Well, I know.
Let me put it on the record right now. I am scared to death of needles. Okay? I'm scared to death of them. So if you come at me with a needle, I'm going to shoot your ass. Just fair warning. I was in fear for my life. Yeah, I don't hate needles, Bill. I fear them. They want to kill me with a needle. They want to inject me with something and kill me because I speak out against the government. If they come at me with a needle, I have to shoot them. It would scare me to death. It really would. I'm in fear for my life. I'm dead serious.
So if Obama asked you to if he could draw blood from you with a needle, what would you do to Obama?
Well, he's not going to get that close to him.
I'd probably tell him you first and punch him right in the mouth.
Then you'd have Secret Service on your tail. Oh,
yeah.
Infects
people all day long,
right.
and sometimes he even uses a hypodermic.
And raising my blood pressure today,
Ron. He's not a gynecologist. Sorry, he's a foot doctor. My bad.
You rose my blood pressure today. I never seen you so wild.
Wild? Oh, I'm
yeah.
I am subdued.
You're a rare form. You're a rare form tonight, pal. I never
When I am, it's when I am in rare form that I actually do a decent show. Otherwise, they're crap. But you know, it is what it is. I saw a Miss Yola. Miss Yola sent an email today that I couldn't help. If I could post that on my Patriot Family's main page, I would. And I guarantee you I'm getting a bumper sticker made that says it. It says, I don't have a bucket list, but my effort list is a mile long.
That was so funny. I love that. Oh, my Lord. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Bill said, do you ever hear me sing, Robert? Yeah, you don't want to hear that. That's bad news right there.
Oh.
A diva
oh,
I'm not.
So how was Indiana? What did y'all do up there?
It was kind of hilly, and it was beautiful, and we had a lot of fun. You know, we got to the fellowship and break bread with a lot of great friends,
and
family members.
And the food, is always amazing, absolutely phenomenal.
I'm here to tell you, next year is going to be planned in advance. Of course, we already know, since Bill has some attraction to that specific time frame, which I'm fine with, and I think everyone is. But this year I want to try and put together an honest-to-goodness, let's do a
big
real
rally.
let's do a program, let's have a concert, let's organize a little bit better. I'm going to spend a week there, or at least attempt to do a week's vacation up there, and let's really make a big deal out of it.
I agree. That would be fabulous.
If the United States of America still exists by then, and we're not all in abject poverty.
Right.
And I did hear from Hollis today, which kind of floored me because he called me out of the blue, and he's talking away like I just talked to him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I paused. I said, "Is this Hollis?" He says, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Holy cow!" Totally floored me. I mean, you know, I work in a retail store, so I get a lot of phone calls day in and day out. And I never know who's going to call me. And everybody that calls me, when I answer the phone, they talk to me like I'm their long-lost cousin, and they just talked to me yesterday. And so I get a lot of people, and a lot of them sound a lot alike on the phone. I'm like, okay, who in the hell is this? But you can't do that to your customers, so you have to be cautious. So anyway, I'm going to call him tonight when I get done with the show and try to get some things worked out. And yes, Bill said rent the whole park. And part of what I'm going to try to get accomplished with Hollis tonight is to get everything transferred over so that they're not bothering him. And I'm going to set up, I want to start a business. We talked about this, so I want to start Patriot Families as a business for many reasons.
Okay.
Number one, we can do advertising. It'll be taxed, you know, I'll run the books and everything so nobody has to mess with it. But then any money that comes in, you know, we can take that money and put it back into Patriot Families. I want to get T-shirts. We talked about that. I want to start doing T-shirt sales. And I really want to get out and promote the site, the personalities that we have on the radio shows, maybe bring some advertising in. I want to get it. I want to take it up to the next level. I really, really do. And what I would like more than anything is to be able to step out of my current full-time employment into Patriot Families full-time. But that remains to be seen, and there's a lot that will have to occur before I can do that. That's my long-term goal, you know, and I want to be able to, you know, have the folks that are always involved. I know Chad has a thing for banners, so we're going to get a banner, and I want to make sure that I get a picture of Chad because I want Chad on the banner. most definitely, I love him. He's a great kid. He really is. But I want to get to where our main supporters, the folks, and you know who they are, you know, guys that are always in our chat and always been involved, you guys are going to be officers in this thing, and we're going to pay to rent the entire park so that no one's paying for a place to stay during the Patriot Families reunion. And I'd like to get to the point where we can pay for everyone's transportation to and from and just cover all the expenses so that it doesn't cost anyone anything to come and participate. And then if they want to make a donation to Patriot Families, of course, they're absolutely welcome to do that. And it'll be a tax-deductible thing. If we go nonprofit, then it would not be tax-deductible. So
and just think we'd have so much money left over for food and booze. Yay!
Well, and, you know, but it has to be run like a business.
I know.
Period.
I know.
So, you know, nothing, I mean, I'm not talking about anything frivolous, but also I don't think that, you know, it's going to be over the top, you know, anything crazy, but just something that, so that it's not taxing everyone's pocketbook. And, you know, it just makes it easier for everyone to attend and participate. That's really my goal.
Oh, that'd be so fun. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
We could send Dog the Bounty Hunter down to Florida to get Robert and out to Arizona to get Rod, Luke, and drag their asses up there to Indiana. You know, I have to put them in a burlap sack and throw them in the trunk of his car and drive them up there, but they'll make it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Robert,
wait.
You got to come. You got to. You got to do it.
The reason why is because we couldn't arrange our vacation time. It was just, we just couldn't do it. We just.
It may be something that, you know, I wouldn't mind even doing something maybe later in the year towards the fall when the leaves are starting to change and the temperatures get a little cooler. You know, because I know some folks can't take the heat.
Was it really hot up there?
No, not at all.
Oh,
but
great.
It's tough on some of the older folks, you know, the heat. I don't mind it at all. I could have slept out on the porch. It wouldn't bother me, but I sweat like a sponge, you know.
It was 93 here today.
Oh, my gosh.
93. It was hot as hell here today. It's very hot. Of course, I don't know how hot hell it is, but it was just hot. So, anyhow, it's fun. Now, have you been otherwise? You've been behaving yourself?
I have no time otherwise to do anything else except trying to catch up on stuff. I have two dance recitals and a dress rehearsal this past week. So, and then a dental appointment today. It just never ends. So I'm always busy.
And thank you for your email. I enjoyed that prayer.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So, that's the Neil's deal. Nothing else is going on in Venice. It's the same old, same old.
Yeah, same thing, you know.
Well, now, that's not what I heard the other day, Robert. There was something. What the heck was I heard yesterday? Man, there was some kind of crazy goings-on down there in Sarasota. Oh,
I don't know.
I can't remember now. Right. I mean, I swear it was like some kind of serial murder junk or something crazy going on.
I heard about the serial killer in Cleveland. Did you hear about that one?
They found the remains of a few women, two or three women up there, and
Sarasota. I tell you what, Sarasota County is one of the highest criminal counties in the United States. It's just,
wow.
But it's just a place where criminals just hide out. I'm telling you. It's a
I know what it was. It was over that. It was over that damned rally that somebody had for someone that won't be named or
won't
mentioned
be
here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on there on the YouTubes and Facebook.
Yeah.
What rally was that? I didn't even hear about it.
Something Al Sharpton was doing.
Oh, well, there's your answer.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Al Sharpton.
Of course, Al wasn't
actually
there. He was in New York with the towel boy, not to be confused with Robert Kaplan, our own towel boy.
Oh, God. Are you talking about Geraldo? Oh, my God.
We're not supposed to say that name, remember?
Oh, I forgot.
It's $20 for Linda.
Are you talking about that 70-year-old man?
I am.
Oy.
That's why I said at the top of the show when I brought you in, Robert, you're the only one allowed to wear the towel.
That's it.
Well, apparently Mr. Beck picked up on that and did the towel too. So.
Did he really?
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, he was trying to do an Anthony Weiner impersonation, evidently, but only Robert is allowed to wear the towel on Patriot.
Everybody knows I still have my regular meter, and everybody else has a smart meter and dying off the streets. I'm the only one still standing. I'm telling you, people are dying off of my block left and right. It's not funny. I believe it's a smart meter, but no one won't believe me. They think I'm crazy when I say it.
But look, have you ever gone to those? All you have to do is YouTube smart meters. You know, YouTube smart meter illnesses, and you'll see tons of videos on this stuff.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It's
now,
for
Robert,
real.
Now, Robert, I don't know if I got a chance to tell you this the last time you were on about the blonde on the city bus down in Sarasota.
What happened?
Well, this guy, you know, he'd been out golfing. He's an elderly gentleman, and he got on the bus. He rented some clubs, but he had a whole pocket full of golf balls. He found some out at the course, and he picked them up and put them in his pocket. When he got on the bus, and he sat down next to this blonde, and they're riding through Sarasota, and she kept staring at his pocket, you know, bulging with these golf balls.
Oh.
And, you know, he could tell she was really, you know, very inquisitive about what was going on. So he just looked at her and smiled, and he said, "Golf balls." And she says, "Oh." She thought for a minute, and she looked at him, and she says, "Does that hurt as bad as tennis elbow?"
Oh, Lord.
Hey, Ron?
Yes,
sir. Do you know why blondes drink out of straws?
Oh, God, no. Tell me.
Because they believe practice makes perfect.
Oh, dated a lot of blondes, have you, Robert?
Linda's mad at me now.
No, you guys are crazy.
Oh my God!
I can absolutely assure you that that is not the worst joke Linda has heard. I can attest
yeah.
to that.
I got some of the jokes to tell you guys.
Some of the things that went on backstage when I was overseas, believe me. Could make some of y'all
I can well imagine. I doubt it. But.
Well, anyway, close enough. But yeah,
I want to tell you one more joke. I want to owe you a $20 bill because after the Z case,
oh God,
you
now
know,
see, we're going to joke telling. This is not good.
After the Z case, our neighborhood has gotten closer because of our block captains. And occasionally, when we see each other, we give each other the finger. I made you laugh. I can use that one, right?
Oh, wow. You know, do you know, Robert, how copper wire was first invented?
How?
It was two Jewish boys fighting over a penny.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that one. You're a bad boy, Rod.
Oh, Lord. Oh, I can't tell some of my really good ones, the Jewish jokes. You know.
Oh, Lord.
Lord have mercy.
Some of them are definitely not family appropriate. And, you know, the one about the difference between pizzas and, well, never mind. We won't go there. That's really horrible, but it is funny in a sadistic kind of way.
You guys are bad.
So what do you have for us? What jokes do you have up your sleeve?
I actually don't, but I just wanted to tell you that on the smart meter situation, we have an entire community.
Doc said, "Don't do it, CH."
What?
You know, one of my favorite, talking about the pizza joke, he's like, "Don't do it, CH." You know, one of my favorite comedians who's now deceased, he was quite vulgar, but he was hilarious, and that was a guy named Jay Hickman out of North Carolina. He said his second wife was Jewish. He bought her a waterbed, and her side froze over.
Oh, no.
She
oh, no.
She spread her legs, and the furnace kicked in.
Oh my God!
He stole some of Rodney Dangerfield. I loved Rodney. No respect at all. I'm not saying my wife can't cook, but we got the only dog in the neighborhood that begs for Alka-Seltzer. The flies pitched in and bought us a screen door.
Yeah.
You know what Rodney said one time? He went to the dentist, and the dentist told him that he had yellow teeth. You know what the dentist said to him? Wear a brown tie.
Yeah, wear a brown tie. Yeah, I've heard that one.
It was.
You know, he did a movie with, I can't remember the guy's name now, the actor. He's the guy that played Charles Emerson Winchester III on MASH.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. I can't remember his name either, but I know who you're talking about.
His part in the movie was he was the governor, and Rodney Dangerfield was a reporter who was doing a report on the governor, and he broke his leg. He broke his leg at the governor's mansion. And he had this gigantic bull mastiff dog with him. Dangerfield did.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor was just terrified that he was going to sue the state. So they just gave him the red carpet. Well, his dog kept crapping all over the governor's mansion. And at one point, you know, Rodney, he's getting bored, and he's got the governor's wife and all of her friends in the bridge club playing poker, strip poker. And he's in there playing the piano in the parlor, and the governor walks in. The dog had took a dump in the library, and he says, "Your dog defecated in my library again." And he says, "Hey, governor, why do you think they call him Egypt? Everywhere he goes, he leaves a pyramid."
Oh, my God.
Was one of my favorite scenes. I love those old shows. Rodney Dangerfield. God, what a great guy. What a great
guy.
He was old school,
but he was funny.
Oh, God, man. And I've got a customer who, his name's Rodney, and he looks like Dangerfield.
Oh, my gosh.
His name's Rodney Goodhart, and he is a Goodhart. He's just
great.
Fabulous guy. And I guess his health is not doing so well. I was talking to a friend of mine, mutual acquaintance, and he said, yeah, his heart's not doing well, and it's just, it's dead. My favorites are going to abandon us.
And I'm really, really sorry about your dad, and it's real tough. I know it's really awful, so, boy.
I am too, hon, and it's for me, it's difficult because... I know what's going through his mind when he's, which is probably 90% of the time, and it's scaring the hell out of him because he's having, he's hallucinating, he's seeing things that aren't there. He's fully cognizant and aware of the fact that he's dying, and that this cancer is eating him up. And
yeah, that's horrible.
I'm sorry, Ron.
Does he have hospice?
No, actually, my wife talked to the hospice people today, so they're going to start having somebody from hospice come over and sit with him. And it's difficult because, growing up, he was the strongest, toughest, meanest, honoriest, smartest guy I've ever known. And to see him in his current state is difficult.
I know this. Really hard, but you at least get to speak to him. I mean, it's not like one day you woke up and he's gone and you didn't get to say goodbye or anything and stuff,
No, that's true, and he knows how I feel and I know how he feels.
Yeah, good.
You know, I love him. He's my father, and nothing can take that away. Nothing can change that. He's worried about disappointing me or my kids.
All of us who are Christians, we're so grateful that he's saved. I mean, it just touches my heart. So that's really cool. I'm so glad.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And, part of me feels guilty because, I pray God's will. But I don't want to see him suffer. And I don't want
to. Oh, no. I know. I went through that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I wish that he could just, drift off to sleep and not wake up.
Well, I know that'll happen, and it's sometimes, usually if they bring in hospice and do whatever, sometimes they go to these little, mini comas, and then they just go to sleep, and that's it. So, it's not fun, but...
No, and I know he's... He's a trooper, though. I love him.
Yeah,
I sat with him. I sat with him most of the day yesterday. And
well, you'll have to tell him when he's totally lucid and everything that all of us when he used to come on your show and be in the chat.
Oh,
room,
I have.
We
numerous
loved
times.
It. It was hysterical.
numerous times. He knows.
Yeah. He used to tell us on the air, is that my dad causing problems in the chat room? And it was all in good fun, but oh my gosh.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So,
gosh, he can get wound up. He still can, but, you know, it's funny. Things, life takes on a different perspective.
Yeah.
And that's why I really appreciated that, you know, I don't have a bucket list, but my effort list is a mile long. It really is true, and I think I've tried to live my life that way for several years now, because quite honestly, I recognize what's truly important, and I don't put a high priority on a lot of things that other people do prioritize, and I know, you know, there are a lot of people in my life, in my inner circle, that don't necessarily believe that, but I think now that, you know, I think that now that some of them have been able to stay with me for a while, they actually see that it's not just me talking. It really means very little to me, the material thing.
Right, because when you know what's going on and you know the orchestration behind all of this rebuilding of Babylon, and you understand the mindset of this New World Order, basically what they're telling you is, oh, move along, folks. Nothing to see here. Go shopping, you know.
Right. Well,
sit down,
shut
up, and go shopping.
I understand from whence it comes. And what did you, I mean, knowing if you understood and could make all these connections in your mind of where this got its birth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about the 1860s, and we talk about the 1700s and prior to that, you go all the way back. Go back.
Right.
Pick up your Bible because it's in there. It's in there.
Yep.
And that's why they persecuted Christ. That's why they hated him.
Sure.
That's why they called him out. And it's a specific group. Okay? And, you know, one of the things Christ said is that truly there is no Jew or Gentile. That's all nonsense. He didn't say that specifically, but he certainly implied that in the scripture when he says, who is truly a Jew, one that's circumcised outward in the flesh? No, I tell you the truth, it's one that's circumcised inwardly in the heart. That's a true child of God. The others are pretenders, they're posers, and they're trying to ensnare you. And he called them out. He called out the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the lawyers of the day. It says in Luke, woe to you lawyers, for you've stolen the key to knowledge.
Right.
Okay? And they are. They do. And this is not something new. It's something that's been going on for a long time. The Muslims came along and they figured out a way. They were the L. Ron Hubbards of their day. I've said that a number of times. If you want, you don't have a religion that suits you, create your own. And you can circumvent or you can co-opt it. Well, that's exactly what they did. They took all the tenets of the Zionist Judaism, the Talmudic Jews, they took all of that and co-opted it and twisted it around to suit their own desires and their own needs, and they use it against the very people they stole it from, the Jews, the Hebraic Jews, but they also use it against everyone else who is not like them, who is not submitted to their ideology. Well, the Talmudic Jews did the same thing to everyone else. Everyone outside of a Talmudic Jew is an animal, a filthy pig, and, you know, an infidel. So it's no different. It's two sides of the same damn coin. The only reason they hate one another is because they're competition for one another.
Right. And, you know, all of the people who have tried to be the ones to rule over others and make people submissive to them have been following the same patterns, because what else can they do? I mean, the Fabian Socialists did the same thing. You know,
they're following the same damn blueprint. The only thing that the Jews have going for them that the Muslims don't, I mean, is the Holocaust.
Yep.
But I mean, and I hate to say it that way, but they do. They are the quintessential professional victims, and you can't say anything against anyone of Jewish origin without being an anti-Semite. Okay, the Muslims, they never got that message. They somehow missed that part, and they're equally as well hated in the world. Just they don't have that whole divine professional victim angle working for them.
It'll make you feel any better. The Chabad quit sending me their newsletters. I don't get email from them anymore.
So are we running out of time?
Yeah, I got about 4 minutes, guys. I appreciate it. I'm going to play our
Thank
little
so
promo.
Much.
No problem.
Okay. God bless.
And then I'm going to play an out-exit song. God bless, guys.
Make
thanks
sure.
for calling.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Guys, thanks for stopping in. All my listeners in the chat room, everybody listening on their iPhones.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed but Never Forgotten. All time...
Thank you enough for tuning in. God bless every single one of you, all of our Patriot families and your extended families. Guys, we'll look for you tomorrow night right here, 7 p.m. for Patriot Families Chat. God bless. Keep your eye on him. Thank you. Good night.